that a good-looking group of kids up there? It's great to have them be part of our church and to be singing on Sunday night in the services. Let me just continue where I left off a few moments ago and remind you that Wednesday night is family night, and here hundreds gather together to study God's Word and to have a time of fellowship together. We trust you'll be with us on Wednesday night. Thursday morning is our hour of power, and there is no age limit or bracket or anything else. If you'd like to come and pray and you have time, come with us on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Saturday morning at 7:30 is the time when the men meet together to pray. We always have a great group of fellows here praying, and we really enjoy Saturday morning together. And then, of course, we have our simultaneous Sunday morning worship hour in Sunday schools at 9:30 and at 10:45. Sunday school, or I should say, missionary convention is just around the corner, starting on the 23rd of October and running through the 27th. And we have a great crew lined up for you this year. On Wednesday night, if you remember from your bulletin this morning, on Wednesday night, Brother Ernie Jones is going to be speaking, and he's from Africa. He'll be telling us what God's doing there. I'm sure he'll be bringing us reports of starvation that runs rampant in parts of that land. On Thursday night, we've invited Brother Don Merrill, who is the pastor of one of our churches in Fresno, to be here, and he'll be speaking particularly on the bus ministry. They started about the same time we did, maybe a little bit after we did, on the bus ministry, and we have 6 and they have 12, so they're doing something right. We want to know what it is, because we want to be the very best, so he'll be talking to us. Friday night, Brother George Davis, who is head of all the Sunday schools for Latin America, will be here to speak to us. And then Saturday night, Brother Ernie Wood, who is, of course, connected with the office at Bethany Bible College, and he's going to be talking to us concerning the school, but also concerning his own experiences, because he was a missionary to the Philippines. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we're going to have with us one of our own. Brother Eddie Washington will be speaking to us on Sunday morning, and then Sunday night, Brother Ernie Jones again. So we're going to have a great time together at this missionary convention. We want you to be a part of it. Put everything else aside and be a part of that missionary convention. And then, of course, the young people have probably already collared you and asked you to buy one of their tickets to Morbid Manor. I hope you'll support them, because they've pledged $2,100 for Speed the Light, and they need your help. So you help us as we move forward for the glory of God, making this a great church. Will you stand with me, please? Everybody standing. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Jesus lifted me well out of sin and bondage. Jesus lifted me out of sin and bondage. Jesus lifted me out of sin and bondage. Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Jesus lifted me, and that's why I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Turn there and shake hands with your neighbor and tell them you're glad they're here tonight, will you? Praise God. We are glad you're here tonight to be a part of Century Assembly's great Sunday night service. God sent to us almost a year ago now. Won't be very many days until it will be a year. Sent to us Pastor Larry and Dawn. They have been a tremendous blessing to our church. Just great to work with, and we've had a great year together. God has blessed us, and as you know, we now have the largest active Christ Ambassador group in Northern California, Nevada District, and that covers a lot of ground and a lot of churches, over 300 churches, something like 360 churches And ours is the largest CA group. And somebody ought to say amen. And it's just great. We're glad for it. And a part of that, a very definite part of that, has been Larry and Dawn as they have come to us to help us. He's going to minister to us in just a moment. God always uses him. We enjoy listening to him minister and preach to us. He's going to preach to us in just a moment. But before he does, the Sluter Trio is coming to sing for us. You listen and enjoy it.
We're going to try to sing tonight a song entitled, It's Different Now. And truly, it is different once you've known the Lord.
Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his grace I'm free. Now it's different, oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now. Since he saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now.
By his blood I'm whole. Old sinner to free. When Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different. Different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now. Since he saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now. By his blood I'm whole.
Old sinner to free. When Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different. Oh, so different now. And now my hopes are bright. I praise him day and night. How he could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now.
Since
he saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now.
By his blood I'm whole.
Now it's different, oh, so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different now.
Since
he saved my soul.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different
now.
By his blood I'm whole.
Old sinner to free. Since Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different, oh, so different now.
Thank you, Sluters. Appreciate that song. Pastor kind of scared me there when he started off. I knew I hadn't resigned. But when he said it's been a good year, I didn't know what he had in mind exactly. But we've enjoyed it this last, well, it's almost a year now that we've been here. And it's really been exciting. And I've never been in a church where the people were more lovely or as lovely as this church. And the young people, it's really exciting working with them. We got the greatest bunch of kids. We just have a lot of fun together. And so it's a real privilege to work for the Lord here in this Lodi community. I'm going to share with you tonight on my favorite subject, and that is the love of God. To me, there's nothing more thrilling, and yet nothing more amazing than the love of Jesus Christ for you and I. Dr. Karl Barth, a great modern theologian, was asked, what is the greatest truth that you have found in your study of the Scriptures and your study of Christianity? And he said, sir, my most glorious truth is Jesus loves me, this I know. And the one that was interviewing him went on to make the comment, well, that is a wonderful truth that Jesus loves you. He said, no, sir, you don't understand. The most glorious truth of that is, this I know. It's wonderful to be able to say Jesus loves you or Jesus loves me. But the fact that we know Jesus loves us, that we know the love of God, is to me the greatest and yet most startling truth that I have ever found. Jesus loves me. Walking with Jesus almost makes me feel like these couples you hear commented about. How in the world did she ever get him? And I sort of feel like that walking with Christ. How in the world, what in the world is there about me that Jesus could love? But yet, the Son of God so loved me that he even chose to die for me. So to me, the love of God is the most wonderful subject that is contained in the Word of God. And we're going to take our text tonight from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. Tonight we'd like to speak on the subject of the spectrum of love. The spectrum of love. Beginning with the fourth verse, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And of course, charity, translated here, is love. So love is long-suffering. Love is all of these qualities here that Paul mentions. And let's take a look at these qualities and ask the Lord to direct our thoughts, shall we? Would you pray with me? Father, tonight we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that we've already sensed here in our midst tonight. And now we ask, God, that you continue to direct and guide our thoughts. We cherish tonight your presence. And God, as we share together on this wonderful subject of love, divine love, the agape love, the love that is beyond our own understanding, love that only comes from you, God, as we share together concerning that tonight, I pray that you will give us a special anointing, both to speak and to hear. For Lord, this is not only something that we need to talk about, but it is something that our lives need to show. For Lord, we're living in a world that is starved for love, a world that does not know what love means, and their only source of love is you. And their only contact with you is us. So tonight, Lord, as we realize this great responsibility, we ask that you help us as we share together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul here, as he begins to write this chapter, in the first few verses, shares with us the supremacy of love. But then as he gets into the fourth through the sixth verse here, he begins to share some of the qualities of love. And the reason that I've called it tonight the spectrum of love is because if you take light and you pass it through a prism, there it comes out in different colors. All of the components of this light is broken down into different colors. And there as the light passes through this prism, you see the beautiful colors of red and blue and yellow and all of the beautiful colors of the rainbow. And I believe what Paul did here, what the Holy Spirit did through Paul, was took his inspired intellect and passed love through it. And it served as a prism of love. And as it came through his intellect, Paul then was able to share with us some of these great qualities and virtues of love. And so tonight, let's call these verses of Scripture here and these qualities, let's call them the spectrum of love. And through this prism, there passed 9 virtues. And I'd like for us to take a careful look at all of these virtues tonight. First of all, he said that love is patient. Love suffereth long. To me, this shows the passive attitude of love. Love waiting to begin. Love not in a hurry, calm, ready to do its work when it comes. But in the meantime, wearing the ornament of meekness and of a quiet spirit. Love understands, therefore it waits. And we can see this quality beautifully exemplified in the life of Christ. He did not come and say, "Here I am, love me. Here I am, just accept me the way that I am. Hurry, make your decision. Hurry up and understand me, love me." But he came quietly, meekly, lived those years here on this earth, exemplifying love, exemplifying patience, waiting, allowing his spirit, allowing his life, his qualities to have an influence on this world, being patient, waiting for us to respond. And he has waited even these 2,000 some odd years now. His love has been that patient. It didn't tire. It didn't wear out. But it patiently waited. We can also see this in the life of Simeon. While the Messiah was prophesied to come, all of the Jews and many of the prophets had given up. And in the latter part of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was just about to give up on what all the old prophets had to say about the coming Messiah. But Simeon, he believed that the words that God had spoken through their promises were true. He believed that God did love him, and he continued to love and believe his God. And through his patience, he was able to see the Messiah. He was able to recognize Jesus as a small boy, as a baby, and be able to look upon him and say, "My life is now complete. All that I've longed for, all that I've waited for, my patience has been rewarded. The Redeemer has come." And what a beautiful quality patience is. It's told of the great artist Romney that he was quite a character in his younger days. He was very unfaithful and untrue to his wife, and he left her. He went about his own profession, doing his own thing, but she loved her husband. She loved her artist very dearly, and she sat and she waited and she waited. And in the latter part of his years, he realized what a fool that he was, and he came back to his wife. She took him. She nursed him back to health and lived with him in his latter years. You may say, "What a fool this woman was." Well, I'll leave that up to your own judgment. But I have yet to see someone that was so full of love that they were a fool.